Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, once again, it's the Transformation Cafe. We want to thank of all our regulars. We got Jamie and Gloria both scooting here up to the table. And we want to invite anybody else who'd like to join into the conversation. That number again, just in case you're listening online, which is, we've also got our chat room. We'll have that open as well. But the call-in number is 646-727-3206. And this is Gloria. I hear you're just a little feeling under the weather tonight.
Hey, it's all good.
Aw, okay. Well, you know, hopefully this conversation today will inspire you. We're going to be talking about wild food tonight, so you might want to run outside and grab yourself some grass.
All right.
Not the marijuana kind, but just what's growing outside. So we'll talk about that in a second. So, Mr. Jamie, how are you this fine evening?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Good.
Mr. Jamie calling
outside
from
eating grass,
Seattle,
or?
Washington. What's that?
I said, have you been outside eating some grass? Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
No.
Okay. Just stop the conversation right there. Okay. I was watching a YouTube episode from Growing Your Greens is the channel of this guy. And I had a friend of mine send me this really wonderful video. It's about 50 minutes long, actually. And it's called Eat Fresh and Local Food Free and it's without growing it in your garden. So really what it's about is about wild foods and the whole premise of being able to go out and literally be eating from just out in your local environment. And it's under the premise that anywhere human beings have been, where they've turned over soil or, you know, disturbed the regular natural way of things with, you know, creating, you know, cities and dwellings and things like that, that weeds, there's certain weeds that are all over the planet. There's like at least 13 of them that will grow anywhere and everywhere that human beings have been. And a lot of them we kind of already know about. And I actually did like four pages of notes here, all different kinds of good stuff. So just right off the top of the show, I want to remind everybody, you know, it's really important that you go and you find the information on these different plants and really know what you're eating and why you're eating it. Take it slow. And making sure that anything that you're putting into your body that you know you've taken a conscious effort to do a little bit of research and make sure that something it is edible and it is safe. And just kind of that disclaimer right there. And if any questions on that, you know, check with the doctor or, you know, check with the your local lawn people to make sure that, you know, green, you know, herbalists and things like that in the local area. The cool thing about some of this stuff is I know I'm calling from Riverside, California. Is with the, you know, the things that are indigenous to our area, their herbalists have been around forever, and it's kind of like a hippy dippy thing to be thinking you're going to go out and go on these little walkabouts and find all these different ways that you can be eating greens and things like that. But I mean, I heard a story the other day about during Roman times, it was basically, you know, the Romans would be out conquering the world with their different stuff. And the troops would basically be gathering all these herbs, weeds, edible weeds and things like that all day long. And then it was not uncommon at the end of the day, they'd all gather and they put it into a big pot and they'd have soup. That's basically what they were eating. They'd eat the greens and stuff as they walked along all day long. And then they'd have some kind of a porridge or soup or something that they brought all the stuff together at the end of the day. And that was basically how they basically marched their way through all the different places that they were going to. So that was kind of an interesting thing on that. So I wanted to get Gloria into the conversation because she does a lot of, she's got some stuff that she grows. One of the things she taught me was if you take celery stalks and you cut them, you basically take all the celery you're going to be using on it and keep like a couple inches off the bottom of the celery. you stick that back in water again, it'll grow itself and it'll start rooting and you can grow more more celery. Is that how you start all your celery, Gloria?
I don't quite understand what you just said. I just continue to let it grow and I cut around the outside perimeter and then when it goes to seed, it reseeds itself.
Okay, because like what I was doing was I mean, like the bottom of the stalk where it had been growing. I take all, I cut like 2 inches above that. I'll cut that, stick that in a little bit of water, and it roots, and then you can go ahead and plant it.
Yeah, that, I don't think
and
that would
grow
be.
More celery.
I'd get from somebody else.
Oh, okay. Well, it works.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat thing to watch it grow, and we'll start you know growing roots and stuff like that, and you can stick it in the ground and start more celery. Now you grow potatoes.
I do.
Are you still growing potatoes? You want to talk about your potatoes a little bit?
I have some black potatoes that are growing right now. They came from the meat store. Or no, actually it was a cream.
Did you just cut them in quarters or halves and throw them in the dirt, or how did you start them?
Well, I looked online, and there was a lot of information that you can find on YouTube, and I decided to experiment. And you cut it, and a lot of times they'll just cut a whole potato in quarters, but you don't need the whole potato. You can go ahead and cut just the eyes off and then eat the majority of the potato. And then you cut the eyes off, and I put them in an empty egg container, an egg carton container, and let them dry out. You want the bottoms to dry out so that they don't get root rot, is what I learned. And then you put them in the dirt, and they will start to root. They'll start looking for the moisture, and they'll just start to grow.
Yeah, Gloria is really amazing. I've seen her. She's shown me how she's taken apple seeds and started apple trees from just seeds from apples. Pretty awesome.
It's more about.
Have you got anything that you've been
grow?
It's very cool.
When it comes to that, it's not so much about being able to eat the food for me at that point, because going through getting a tree and getting fruit, there's a whole process on grafting and a bunch of things that happen to actually make trees develop fruit. It takes a while, you know, and so there's a whole system that they've developed, and it was more about just being able to see whether or not I could get the seeds to grow, and it's one of those primal things where, you know, when you're in grade school and they have you grow seeds, they just watching the seed germinate and grow is just amazing, and I have to say it's given me a lot more respect and appreciation for the farmers, because it takes a heck of a lot of effort. It's just crazy.
Well, one of the reasons I was really inspired to want to do this show on wild foods was from our last episode, which was TC 241, which is why the bees are disappearing. And we were talking about the fact that we don't have a lot of flowering plants going on out there. And one of the cool things about the wild foods is without pesticides, all these guys are basically, they have a very deep primal instinct to grow, and their vitality is something that's a lot of these different plants, if you eat them at the baby stages, actually are the most beneficial for you. They have a nice sweet taste to them, a little bit maybe of a bitter, which is actually a beneficial thing to you. And it makes it really easy to be able just to go out and, you know, pretty much forge your, you literally can be eating out of your lawn and the cracks in your sidewalk, as long as you're not spraying them with pesticides and anything like that to deter their growth and things like that. So one of the real great messages from this video that I watched was wonderful, because it said that. It said, you know, get away. If we all got away from pesticides, it would really be helping so much of our environment, you know, with the bees, butterflies, birds, all the different things that are being affected by all these things, just like us. And they're basically precursors to showing us what can happen to us if we don't turn this thing around in a way that, you know, back in the day, it's not good to have weeds growing in your yard. And I'm ready to put some little signs out there, say, you know, signs out that say bee garden. and have it be, you know, little patches of stuff growing here and there. It's just allowed to grow so the bees can be happy and have some place to go munch on their flowers. So that's a really good thing. So what do you think about all that, Jamie? You live in an apartment, right?
Correct.
Okay. Do you guys do any pot gardening or anything like that where you're just containers, doing container gardening? You have a space for that?
We have a patio, but we don't really do the landscaping out on the building. That's landlord's property, pretty much. Nothing like that. I wish we had a little plot of land. That'd be nice somewhere, but we don't.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that this is also talking about with the wild foods is that any kind of container. I know I have some in my backyard right now. I have a small patio in my backyard, and I've had dandelions take over some of the plants had gone away, but yet I still had dirt in some of these plastic containers you get from, you know, the regular, Home Depot and all these other places. So the dandelions are just having a party. They're like kind of took that over, and I was delighted. I'm like, oh, cool. I got dandelions growing.
Up here too is they have these they're called pea patches, and that's where it's like a communal garden that people tend to, and they're like in the urban, you know, there's a space of there's a few here and there. There's some really large ones too, and that's pretty beneficial, I think, to the to the people there that tend to them and make things grow, and it's a communal effort.
Yeah, I know that I've seen a couple different ones. I know Oprah's had a couple that she's highlighted, like there was one in the Bronx and things like that that they had going on, to showing how, you know, these kids, as part of their school projects, were basically being encouraged to do, you know, planters and things like that, you know, upright, you know, gardens and stuff like that. So that's really cool. What were you going to say, Gloria?
I was going to say that dandelions are amazingly hardy. I had picked some, and I had just moved into a place, and I had run out of flowers, and I was busy traveling for work, and so I decided that I would, you know, just pick a couple of these dandelions, and I stuck them in a little bud pot for just the time that I was home. And when I came back, I'd been gone long enough that the water had evaporated, and the dandelions had basically, you know, shriveled up, and then I had to leave again, and I came back to find that the flower heads, that the yellow flower heads that had dried, that they had, you know, when you go out and they go to seed and they puff open with that big ball, and so in my living room, these dead flowers had puffed open. It was just like they still went through their process, even though there was nothing there for them.
Oh, wow. That's
cool. And they have a high,
if I remember
correctly, they have a high iron content, but they're very nutritious. Dandelion greens are very nutritious for you.
Yeah, so part of this video was saying that there's 13 plants that are essential for human survival. And actually, the girl who put it together, she's been talking about this stuff for 30 years. She looked like she was about maybe in her mid-20s. And she's got kids and all that kinds of stuff. So she had to be at least in her mid-40s, you know, maybe early 50s. When you see her, it's very youthful-looking lady. Her name is Katrina Blair. And the name of her book is called 13 Plants for Essential Human Survival. And it's called The Wild Wisdom of Weeds. I love that. I thought that was great. And she just had this come out, I guess it was late last year because of the video. But She takes the time to really go through all these different herbs and, I mean, all these different weeds and stuff like that, and shows you how you can make them into teas very easily with either a dehydrator or just let them, you know, be out and dry, and then you make them into a powder. You can go ahead and save them. And then she was also talking about, you know, everybody's got these green powders that they're making with a lot of these health food stores and stuff like that you can get. And she said, you know, just go out and find, you know, one of the, you know, dandelions was the number one thing that she talked about. And because dandelions have been around forever, of course. And just like Gloria was sharing, you know, that just their level of resilience is just amazing. And their flower, the yellow flower that they have, is the highest form of lecithin on the planet. And lecithin is just such an important element for the body. And like you said, you can let that go ahead and go to seed with the puffball. and have that be something that can really benefit yourself. You know, save that and, you know, throw it out there and be able to grow over and over again. Dandelions have one of the deepest root systems as well, I've heard. I know clover, you know, another thing she was showing sharing with clover, clover goes down 10 feet. I know the dandelions, I've heard they can go down to 75 feet. They can go down and really get all those trace minerals and stuff for the body. So, you know, you can get some just little baby dandelion greens, you know, making sure that they're not, haven't been sprayed with pesticides and stuff like that. That's the tough part, you know, making sure you're getting someplace that they're not really getting affected by people with their gardening and stuff that they do. And it's like throw four or five of those in a blender with a bunch of just spring water and a cut up apple, and you've got yourself a really nice little simple juice. And very, very beneficial. Less is more. And the one important thing with all of these different things is, you know, again, making sure you know where it's coming from. And always to test, that's one thing she talked about is, every time you come in contact with any of these different foods that weeds that you talked about, there needs to be a real deep respect to make sure that, you know, each time you come in contact with it, it's different and you're different. So you take the time to really see how it's going to affect your body. You taste it and allow yourself to see how you are with it. Go ahead, Gloria.
I didn't have anything to add.
Oh, you were kind of wanting to say something. Okay. But, so she said dandelions were one of the number one things. And, again, it's a bitter. And the bitters are always really good because they help us to exercise our organs with all of our detoxing systems that we have with the body and help to release the systems and helps to tone the body, which I thought was interesting. And she said, you know, it's always good to be juicing, at least have juice once a day, if not twice a day. And it could just be, and she said she just really encourages people to just use a basic blender, spend $30 and get a simple blender and just put a bunch of water in there with whatever else you're putting in there. And then you can go ahead and strain the pulp and stuff out of it if it doesn't get too, it doesn't break down enough to where it's easy to make it drinkable. And just be drinking it stuff, because they say within 24 hours when you're doing any kind of juicing or extraction from any kind of greens, that you lose 50% of its nutritional value within 24 hours. And that's just having it being, you know, harvested. Mostly the fruits and vegetables and things like that we get from the market, we're looking at least 3 to 4 days, if not longer. So the amount of nutritional value that's still with the plant and, you know, the food itself is, you know, minimal. But to me, I'm just like, it's way better than going and eating a cheeseburger, you know. You know how that goes.
Well, even on that, when you have foods that are frozen versus canned versus fresh, sometimes your nutritional value based upon how soon it's either canned or frozen, because, you know, if it's frozen, it's still aging. If it's canned, it's been partially processed. And so there's always a question as to which one is going to be more healthy, more beneficial nutritionally. So it's kind of a gauging, you know, unless you really know the industry, just keeping in mind that, you know, some of your fresh frozen foods are going to be more nutritious than the fresh food that comes out of the produce section.
Grocery store. Right, you're right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I would like to see some statistics about freeze drying something that's right out of the garden or whatever, as opposed to something that's been frozen. You know, when you're losing the water content, does that really affect the plant itself as well? I would think it would. You know, just for a sense of its essence and what it is, because part of the essence is the water. You know. In its whole makeup of what it's been, that kind of thing. So something to think about with that. Be interesting to see how that all relates to everything. Because that's one thing when I really got into all this stuff was just learning about the consciousness of water and, you know, how it holds memory and so many. That would be a great show. Just talk about the different dynamics of water and some of the scientific things that they've learned about water over the last, you know, 20 years. It's pretty amazing what water does and holds when it comes to energy.
Right?
Yes, it would totally have Dr. Emoto as a part of the conversation, yeah. And if anybody doesn't know about that, you know, go on to YouTube or check out the messages from water. And there's all kinds of stuff nowadays that didn't used to be on the Internet. You know, that's one nice thing about the Internet. And he actually did, he would flash freeze different water expressions from different stuff. You take like, you know, a piece of music and have a container of water and have it exposed to the music, and then you take a little bit of that and you flash freeze it, and it would be this beautiful crystal pattern, depending it was, you know, the Mozart, all the classic music, classical music and inspiring music like that was all these beautiful crystal structures that got put together. A lot of them look like really elaborate snowflakes. But and then you play like hard rock or, you know, something like that, and it would look be this real muddy looking expression instead. So it's kind of interesting to see how the water was expressing those different energies and what that looked like.
And then there's studies that were done utilizing energy therapy like Reiki on the water. It also has its charge, yeah.
Yeah, Reiki, I mean, all different kinds of stuff, and even just words. Words and phrases were also tested. And, you know, what peace would look like or joy would look like or happiness and joy or, you know, or war, you know, things like that. All those different words were tested out. So very, very cool. Just the different things. And it's very, just kind of changes the way you look at things when it comes to seeing how water was expressing that. So the second out of the 13 was all the wild grasses. And Katrina was basically saying that pretty much all grasses are edible and have a very high rate of proteins, minerals, and the number one thing is the chlorophyll. And it's one of those best things. It's like you think of all these powerful animals, you know, be it, you know, bulls and steers and elephants, all these different really large muscled animals that just feed off grass. So it's interesting to see that was a real important component. It basically, it's the first in the chain, as opposed to when, you know, thinking we would, for like condensed proteins, we would go to meat. It's a better source of proteins when you go ahead and do that. I think the highest, one of the highest forms of protein is actually a seaweed. I know there's a seaweed out there. If you follow stuff with David Wolf, and he's that one guy who's a spokesperson for Nutribullet, that he's talked about that a little bit, about the chlorophyll and with the seaweeds and things like that. Seaweed and also just spirulina and all the different stuff that's out there that just really carries high levels of protein, which I think is interesting. So, you know, as always, go back to the sea, and it's got all these components of stuff for just basic life that are really, really available. So it's good to see that.
Did you know that they grow vast amounts of spirulina? Did you know that they grow vast amounts of spirulina in the Arizona desert?
I did not know that.
They have these big beds that look similar to hydroponic gardening.
Uh huh.
And they grow spirulina in these big, huge. I mean, huge. You see it online, and it's just huge. Acres of, I mean, big acres, like very large containers.
Wow, that's amazing. How deep are the pools?
I don't think that they were that deep. I don't think they were more than like a foot deep. It might have been a little bit more, but my recollection is that they were about a foot deep. And it was really amazing when I saw them online, because you just would never think. But apparently the sun that is in Arizona is very beneficial towards growing it. Makes it easier.
Yeah, I would think so. You definitely get the intensity of the sun all the time there. So that's always a beneficial thing. Yeah, I would be interested to know how deep those pools really are. But I wouldn't think they'd have to be that deep either, because, I mean, it's an algae, you know, that kind of thing. So that's interesting. They were saying with the wild grasses, there have 98 out of the 103 trace minerals that are available on the planet that you can get from grass. Because, again, grass is one of those real resilient plants that knows how to go down deep and be able to sustain itself. And it's got such a tenacity. I mean, you know what? You always got these wild grasses growing places. You're like, yeah, here it comes again. I come and get crazy grass. That kind of thing. What I really loved about the video is, like, the other day I was doing some weeding at my shop, and I was pulling all these things that I thought were weeds, and they were all these edible grasses and stuff that I could have. And I was looking at it going, oh, my God, I pulled that one. Oh, I pulled that one, too. You know, there was like a wild mustard, and there was one that's called, let me get my notes real quick. It's called purslane. It's a purslane, and it kind of looks like a succulent. And then they say that they sell it in Mexican markets as a vegetable. And it's something that just grows all over the place. It's actually a really pretty, it looks like a real pretty delicate succulent plant that has little flowers and seeds and stuff that come off of it. That it's got one of the best sources of omega fatty acids pretty much on the planet. And it's one of these things that'll grow in the cracks of sidewalks. You know, just out there growing. You're like, hey, I could eat that. And that's the cool thing about a lot of these, you know, wild foods is less is more. And, you know, you like see it and it's like growing along. If it's growing out of a crack in the sidewalk, it hasn't gotten sprayed because it wouldn't be there if it had. And there's a whole conversation that they're having out there about all these farms that are on like the freeway, the 5-3 freeway that's up by Sacramento and all these farm areas of like California, where, you know, it's right there off the freeway and you've got all these farms that are basically getting exposed to smog and, you know, all the different stuff from the car emissions and things like that kind of going on. How's that any different than some of the other stuff that we have going on? So it's that small amounts of real, it's like the power foods that, you know, less is more, and it really helps you. They have that tenacity to be able to be dealing with some of this toxic, you know, toxic conditions and thriving, you know, in that. So if you eat that, you're basically supplying that same kind of tenacity to your own body, because you're taking on the same characteristics as that plant does. So that's one of the reasons why they say these wild foods are just really awesome. And again, you don't have to garden, you don't have to water, you don't have to do anything. If it's something that wants to just grow on its own, and you know, like you're leaving it in a backyard and it's not getting sprayed, you know that it's going to be something that you can just go back there and rinse it off and eat it, and you're good to go. So that's pretty cool. Very, very cool, and all that kinds of stuff. So,
and I can't reinforce enough about, you know, when you cautioned everyone to make sure that they know what they're eating. I went to a restaurant one time, and we used to grow chives, and I saw these chives that were outside the building. I thought, oh, this is great. Well, there's ornamental chives, which I was unaware of, and I just nibbled on a little bit, you know, just for the taste, and I was extremely ill.
That's the number one thing that Katrina talked about. Is she said, no matter, you know, even if you know that plant really well, like I said, if it's something growing in your backyard, that's one thing. But if you're out and about and you see it in a different environment, you want to just taste that. She said, our bodies are so finely tuned. When you start, you know, eating this way, you know, where you go and just kind of sample some stuff, let your tongue be your guide, basically. So if you go and taste something and it tastes delicious and it's easy and, you know, your body says yes on it, then, you know, a little bit more is good, and just kind of see how you do with all that stuff. But if it seems intense, don't even go there, you know, a little, you know, trust your taste buds and know that your body is just going to be really, you know, letting you know what's going on with all that kinds of stuff. So the book is called, go back to my notes here, the 13 Plants for, it's the Wild Wisdom of Weed book, the 13 Plants for Essential Human Survival, and it's by Katrina Blair. So it's, you know, we could have talked a whole hour on this because there's just so much information on it. But with that disclaimer about making sure you know what you're eating and when you're eating it. So just really be careful out there. But just know that there's a lot of potential of our lovely earth has always been there to supply what we needed when we needed it. And I think a lot of it's our responsibility to come to a new understanding of that, back to what we already have known, to allow the planet to blossom and bloom and be growing the flowers and clover and all the different things that are out there to allow our planet with its bees and flowers and butterflies and all the different things that are out that are really kind of there to remind us on a very gentle level that, you know, there's harmony and balance when we allow ourselves to come to new ways of understanding ourselves. So I thank you guys for joining us. And if you have any questions or comments, please go ahead and leave them. There'll be a spot on the bottom of the show to be able to kind of do that. And we always look forward to hearing from you and seeing how you guys are liking our topics. Anybody have any ideas for that, too?
Okay, welcome to the Transformation.
Thanks for you calling. Thanks for calling, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.